I need a volunteer to come up and write on the board two words, belief and behavior. Keep it simple for you. So I need a volunteer. And if any women want to volunteer, we have a, you going to do it? Okay.
Okay. Peter's calling you girls short.
I have boots on today, thank you very much. And I like to be called vertically challenged, not short.
So, once again, the big idea of James is the relationship between
belief
and behavior. Okay, we've been doing this for about a month now. Is anybody getting that? Is anybody seeing that? Belief and behavior? Everybody's like, no, I'm drinking coffee. That's the only behavior I have. Exactly. By the way, you want to hear some really good news?
Yeah.
In less than 2 weeks, the days start getting longer.
So,
that's right. The days start getting longer in less than 2 weeks. Get your shorts out and suntan lotion, all that stuff.
9 days, right?
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention, too, by the way, we've been doing this for a month now, and I haven't mentioned this in quite a while, but the hidden stickers, in fact, I meant to put my name tag on. Sorry, I forgot. There's nobody here that doesn't know my name, but the hidden stickers that are on the name tag, who has one? Whoever has one, hold it up so everybody can see it. Okay. Okay, so Tracy does. The little hidden sticker. For anybody that's new, we have some newer people in the class, so I just wanted to mention this. That was Bert's idea when he was doing Psalm 119:11, because or Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So he thought it was a great idea, and I thought it was a great idea. So he went out and bought those hidden stickers. And the whole idea in the class is it was sort of based around a strophe in Psalm 119, which is an 8-verse passage, or a contiguous 8 verses. But we want to continue that theme in the class of memorization. It would just be great, man, if everybody in this class just really embraced that and really went for it. We've already had a lot of people, like, you know, even Jed has done it more than once. But the whole idea is, if you can memorize, we encourage you to memorize 8 verses of Scripture. And it doesn't have to be in Psalm 119. That was part of that series, but we want to continue this for good. So if you have 8 verses anywhere that you want to memorize and recite for the class, that would be really awesome if you did that, and you earn this really hot hidden sticker for your name tag if you do it. And I was thinking, by the way, Jed, for guys like Jed who do multiples, we need to, like, you know how in football how they have the stickers on the helmet? We need to have on the hidden stickers, we need to have like a cross or something for every time they do another one. So we'll do that. But just a reminder to go ahead and do that, please. Memorize Scripture. It can be anywhere in the Bible. And when we do it, again, just so we have some parameters around it, not trying to be the memorization Gestapo, but, you know, we have to have some parameters. So Bert and I sort of said, okay, if there's like up to 3 mistakes in your recitation, is okay. Like, we can't have somebody coming up going, yeah, and they're like, da, 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 and it's like, it just makes no sense. You know, we give them a sticker. So 3 is the thing. So what we'll do is, when you recite, we'll have a list. So you need to tell us, like, what version of Scripture you're reading from or reciting from, and then we'll follow along. The listener, the designated listener, will follow along with you. And if you do get more than 3 mix-ups, that's okay. I fully expect that to happen. You just go back and practice, that's all, and come back and do it again. That's all. It's not a big deal. So, in fact, when I did Psalm 103 here, which is 22 verses, I think I might have been like right up against the little border. So when I get some time here sometime, I'm going to redo Psalm 103 just so I can like earn my sticker. Yeah, I know. So I mean, they gave it to me, so, you know, so I guess it was okay, but I'll have to redo it. Yeah, the Gestapo was on vacation that day. Yeah, Common Core Koinonia memorization. Yeah. So that's what the hidden stickers are for. So I encourage you to again, please do that. Are there any, there's anybody today, is there, that would like to recite anything? 8 verses?
After that, no one's going to want.
Okay. All right. And Terry, I don't want to put you on the spot. Did I hear you were memorizing all of Psalm 119? Okay.
Oh, wow.
So she's going to get multiple stickers on the helmet when she does that. So.
Can we ask how far you are?
It's been a while since I refreshed all the way through.
You've got to
see how far.
Wow. You get more than three wrong, though.
Yeah. By the way, Tracy, I forgot to get the pens out. If there's pens in there, can you take pens and hand them around to people so they can write on their new handout? Let's go ahead and read, and then we'll get into this, or pray. I'm going to pray first just to open, and then we'll get into this new section, which is James 1, 19 through 27. Father, I just thank you so much for this class, and I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to open your holy, amazing word. I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would teach today. I pray that your spirit would revive hearts. I pray that your spirit would convict us where we need to be doers and not just hearers. But Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that we have this joy of opening your word every week and letting your word do the talking. So Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time, Lord, and I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that we would turn our minds, our hearts away from us and away from the teacher and away from the lesson and to you as we do this lesson today. So, Lord, I just pray that you're glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's go ahead and start at verse 19. I'm going to go ahead and read this. And on your handout, I did what I did last time, which is actually the section of scripture on the handout, and then there's just some notes at the bottom if you want. And I'm not saying I'm going to do this every time, but for the second time, I'm going to go ahead and just run through some things on the actual handout that you can circle and underline, stuff like that. So here we go. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So that's the section we're in. On your handout, you don't. These are just suggestions. You don't have to do this, but it's just stuff that I think you know might be helpful if you do. On verse 22, circle the word "prove." If everybody has a pen, circle the word "prove," and next to it, you can put a reference verse, which is James 1:12, which says "approved," which is the same thing. Okay, so circle "prove." In verse 22. Circle hearers who delude themselves. Okay? And then in verse 26, circle deceives his own heart. These two statements are really key for this section, actually for the whole book of James, really. The whole book of James is all about this, are we being real or not? Okay? And I was going to put on the top of the handout, but I didn't want to get too cocky here or too whatever. So I just thought, you know, you could really name this lesson Mind Games and Charades, because that's really what this passage is talking about, is us deceiving our own hearts and playing games. You can write that top of the page if you want. Verse 25, after the word perfect law, put an equal sign. So it reads like this, perfect law equals the law of liberty. Okay? Verse 25, next to the law of liberty, write in parentheses, grace. And then also, and lastly, in verse 25, after effectual doer, put an equal sign. So it reads, effectual doer equals this man shall be blessed in what he does. Okay? So those are just some markups that that I had to start. This section, by the way, and as we, I think I mentioned when we started this series, James talks about a lot of different topics. And so it's sort of hard to really dig deep into every single phrase and word and everything else that's going on in this chapter or in every chapter, because again, it would take probably 2 years to do this. So one of the things that's mentioned in this section here is the tongue. And because the tongue is mentioned again in chapter 3, we're actually going to address that topic in chapter 3, okay, the topic of the tongue. If you notice, by the way, in the book of James, I don't know if anybody's been reading it, but James does this thing where he sort of leapfrogs topics. Like he'll mention it in one section and then bring it up again in another. Okay, like for instance, if you look at endurance, he mentions that in 1:3, and then also he talks about it in 5:11 and on. He talks about endurance. Wisdom, he mentions in 1:5. And then again in chapter 3, verse 1, he talks about wisdom, which is why I said back when we were in wisdom a few weeks ago, it was specific to that context. So in 3:1, where he talks about wisdom, it's more of an open-ended general context. Faith, he talks about in 1:6, and then all of a sudden on 2:14 and on, he talks about faith. He talks about the rich and poor in 1:9 through 11, and then also in 2:1 through 7. And then he talks about the tongue. He talks about it here in 1:19, and then also in chapter 3, verse 1 and beyond that. So, again, some of this stuff we will address when we get down to it in the later chapter. So, I'm not sure exactly why James does this. One of the commentators that I was reading on the book of James, in fact, it's the one that we did with the church formality from Pastor Bob, he made a comment about James doing this kind of thing. And he didn't really say why either, but James is just sort of like this teeter-totter, yo-yo, whatever you want to call it, you know, back and forth, where he addresses something, he jumps to something else, and he addresses something, he jumps to something else. It's just the nature of James. This here, you know, why he mentions things once and then talks about them again, the only thing I can surmise is when you stop and think about it, who is he addressing? He's addressing new Jewish believers who are young in the church. They're young in the faith. How you guys doing? Sorry, I didn't see there. So when you stop and think about it, when you're dealing with a new disciple, a new learner, or whatever, what do? You keep things very basic, okay? And you revisit things over and over. It's like
over and over.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you what I told you.
This book was written for Mike. Seriously, I teach about it. But in all seriousness, what he does often is he'll say something and then he'll reiterate it until you tell him, I got it, you know, or I'm being funny now. But seriously, this is a good concept.
We're going to hear from the teacher.
Caroline.
That's a common teaching practice.
Yeah.
Used in teachers' manuals, and companies use it repeatedly now.
Right.
Because you're like, you hit something, they may not master it, but you come back to it.
Yep.
So that eventually mastery happens.
Yep, exactly.
They stole the idea from the Bible.
Yeah. And when you think about us as believers, I mean, even us as believers, it's like, you know, we've been going to church and hearing sermons for our whole life. Do we ever get to the point where we go, well, you know, got that, you know, back in 1985, so I guess I'll just stay home. You know, we have to keep revisiting things. And I think that's what James is doing here when he's talking about stuff and sort of going like this from chapter to chapter. So somebody had their hand up. No? Okay. Jeannie.
I find that when even though you go over the same thing,
yeah,
each time you go over it,
absolutely,
you respect, you
Absolutely. And that's a fantastic point, because to the point of what I was just talking about is all of us believers have been believers for years and years, and we keep hearing sermons over and over, and, you know, there's 66 books, not unlimited, not that we'll ever exhaust it. I'm not even going to go there, but to Jeannie's point, you know, we're at a whole different point in our spiritual maturity or what have you, so we're hearing things. In fact, I'll mention this right now. I was going to mention it here in a minute, but when I first became a believer, I was probably, I don't know, 6 or 12 months into being a Christian, and I was, you know, just really reading the Word a lot, okay? But I got to be honest with you. You know, and it goes back to James sharing some basic concepts here, basic truths. The first time I read the book of Romans, I had absolutely no idea what it was talking about. It was like gibberish. I'm like, I have no idea what this is talking about. Why? Because I was a babe drinking milk. And Romans is major prime rib and, you know, all that stuff. So, Jed, can you come up here? You're going to recite all your verses again. No. another thing, too, that touches on James doing, that's not going to work. Basics is, if you notice in this section, verse 19 through 27, something else I think he does is some contrasts. I've asked Jed to read this. So if you notice, it sort of goes like this. So verse 19, read verse 19.
This you know, my beloved brethren, for everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
Okay, so that's a very positive statement. Then he goes down to verse 20.
For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God.
Then he goes back up, verse 21 through 22a.
Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls.
So we got 19, 20,
but prove
20 through 22. Go ahead.
But prove yourselves doers of the word.
Okay, and then we have 22b through 24.
And not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was.
Then we have verse 25.
But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does.
Amen.
Thank you. And then verse 26.
If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless.
And then lastly, verse 27.
Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
Amen. Thanks, Chad. You're a good reader. So, back to basics. What is James doing here? It's just something that popped out to me as I was reading this. If you notice, there's a whole bunch of positives here. There's a whole bunch of negatives here. We could say like this. We could say James is saying do, and James is saying don't. Okay? Do and don't. What did we say when we started this series? We said James is a lot like the book of Proverbs. And that's really what James is doing in this section. He's saying, do this, and if you don't do that, blah, 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 do this, blah, 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 blah. He's keeping it very, very basic and very simple. Okay? This isn't in-depth, theological complexity that we get in other books of the Bible, Hebrews, Romans, etc. He's keeping it very basic. So again, I just think this is part of the thing that stands out to me, you know, when we look at this section and sort of James in general, is he's addressing a lot of very basic things, and we can all benefit from this, obviously. If we look at verse 19, this you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. I'm going to touch on anger just real quick, and then, because like I said, we can't exegete every single thing here in total depth. We'll be here forever, but I want to get on to this word here, okay, in the next verse. But when it comes to anger, and by the way, something I saw today, if anybody here has issues with anger, if you even think you remotely have an issue with anger, okay, there's actually an elective that's starting up calling Biblical Counsel for Angry People. Perfect. Okay. Biblical Counsel for Angry People. You know, this says be slow to anger. It doesn't say don't be angry. The Bible says be angry and don't sin. But then later in the passage, he says, you know, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So I guess all I wanted to touch on, just a quick point on anger, is that if you have issues with anger, first of all, address it. But on the flip side, God does not call us to sort of, you know, castrate our spirit and never be angry. We should be angry at a lot of stuff that God's angry at. And frankly, I think anger is a really, really good motivator a lot of times. If we're angry about something, it can really help us to get motivated. The key is for us to understand there's a difference between the anger of man and the anger of God. Okay, in righteous anger. So, you know, just a quick thought on that. And when you said something about Christ, you know, in the temple, he didn't go in there and just wildly start flipping over tables because he was, you know, meek and mild. He was angry at what was happening in the temple. And he showed it. And so, you know, again, that's just something that we need to take into account when we look at anger. And I don't want to minimize the issue. Again, we could talk about anger for, like, there's whole counseling sessions, obviously, a whole series on anger. I don't want to minimize it. But, you know, if anybody here struggles with anger, I'll be honest with you. I've done a lot better with anger in recent years. But I have, like, literal scars to show physically, broken bones, pulled muscles, all kinds of stuff from me letting anger get the best of me in many years gone by, thankfully. But I think of the marriages here, and a lot of times marriages are just really, really hurt and painful because of anger. And man, if you're sitting here and you're hiding it and you're like this chapter says, where you're sort of like putting on a show and you're fine and you're happy and you're smiley, but you know what? Deep down, you're an angry person. And your wife sees it, or your husband sees it. Go to that class. Call your pastor. Do something. Get in the Word of God and deal with your anger. So say that and get off it. Are there any questions on that?
Do they have a driving course?
A driving course?
It's all in the course, don't worry.
If you look at the text, by the way, what is the text's answer? To be slow to anger. If you notice, it's in the next verse. I'll just throw it out there. He says, in humility, receive the word implanted. Okay? We said last week, and I will say every week because it's true, this word of God is what our answer is.
Amen.
Okay? So if we're angry, if we're this or we're that, you know, get in the Word of God. Okay? I used to have, I've mentioned my first pastor when I ever got saved back in 87. Had a lot of things that stuck with me. One of the things that he would always say is he would say, the Bible will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from the Bible.
Right.
And so I would encourage you, if you, again, this isn't like confession time. I don't want any people going, oh, I'm the one with all the anger. But if you sitting there and you know that you struggle with anger, get in the Word of God. The Word of God will change you if you let it. So now, if we look at verse 19, this is a really interesting thing here that I was able to sort of like get out of this. If you look at verse 19, it says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear." Okay, I want to look at this word "hear." The word "hear" mentioned in verse 19 is actually what I call processing for action. Okay, there's hearing and there's hearing. And this is referring to processing for action. It's just like, you know, hearken or obey. If you look at John 8:47, you know, the word hearken and obey there is in its hearing. It's hearing for processing. Okay, where's my little thing here? If you look on your handout, and I already had you mark up some stuff, but if you notice in verse 19, he says, quick to hear, okay, which is a positive statement of hearing. Then if you look at verse 22, he says, and not merely hearers, which is negative. Then in verse 23, a hearer of the word and not a doer, which is negative. Okay. Then if you look down at verse 25, he says, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, which is negative, but an effectual doer, which is positive. Okay. Biblical hearing is doing.
That's right.
Okay? It's not just listening. It's not just hearing with your eardrums. Okay? You know, this is like people say, you hear me, but you're not listening to me. Have any wives here ever said, you're hearing me, but you're not listening to me? Have any husbands here said, you're hearing me, but you're not listening to me? There's a big difference between hearing and listening. Okay? The Bible actually has both, and we'll talk about that. But one really interesting correlation that I found on this is in my Bible, again, I mentioned I have a keyword study Bible, and in the word hear, there's a grammatical notation, because I have grammatical notations in the back of my Bible. Are there any grammar experts or English experts here? Do we have any in the class? No? Okay. You're a grammar expert? No? Okay.
I taught all my kids. Yeah. I didn't know it.
All right. Well, anyway, when you start looking, when you start like studying the Word of God, there's a lot of things, not just original language and Greek and Hebrew and all that, but there's what's called grammatical context or grammatical tense. Okay, it's how things are said and the tense in which they're said. I looked this up in my Bible because I wanted to sort of dissect this word here, and here's what it says. And this is pretty pointy-headed, so I'll just say this and just listen. It says, an articular infinitive with the preposition E-I-S, ice, or unto, is used with the accusative article and most commonly denotes purpose. Example, unto, or to, the definitive article in the neuter accusative, thanatosai, to kill, auton, him, in Mark 14:55, which would be translated, in order to put him, Jesus, to death.
I thought you said you weren't going to speak Greek.
Yeah, it's. I didn't expect anybody to follow that. It's just, I just wanted to share it with you because it's something that I read. Now, here's the deal. Just follow me closely, because this is a lot of steps in this thought process. But
I just listened, but I didn't hear.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. You're hearing. That's good. That's good. So in the tense of this word here, okay, there is one root intent in the tense of it, which is purpose. Or in this sense, in Matthew, it's to kill. Okay. If you guys remember, do you remember who here, I'm sure everybody saw it if you didn't raise your hand, 9/11. After 9/11 happened, George Bush was standing in the rubble in New York, and he was standing next to the fireman who had the fire hat on and all the crowd around him, and they're digging out of the rubble, and he had his blowhorn. Do you remember that? Has anybody here, does anybody here not know what I'm talking about? Did anybody not see that? You didn't see that? Okay.
Second grade.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. All right. Man, was 9/11 that long ago?
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Oh, boy. She ain't that old.
Yeah.
But also a long time ago.
Okay. Well, anyway, here's the thing, okay? George Bush was standing in the rubble of 9/11, and he was talking, and he had this blowhorn. And you heard some guy way back in the wings, he said, like, we can't hear you. Okay? And what did George Bush say? He took his blowhorn. No, he didn't say that. He took his blowhorn and he said, soon the people, he said, I hear you. And soon the people who knock these buildings down will hear from all of us. Okay? What did he mean when he said, they will hear from us?
There'll be some action.
There's action.
There's action. He meant there was going to be lethal action. Okay? That's the difference between the two hears that we're talking about. When the guy in the crowd said, we can't hear you, that was a like a passive, audible thing he was talking about. When George Bush said, they will hear from us soon,
purpose.
That's a purpose, okay? And it's lethal, okay? When you look at Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God in Hebrews 4:12 says what? Go ahead.
Quick and powerful, sharp than any two-edged sword, able to discern right to the intents of the heart, dividing flesh and spirit, etc.
It's active and it's lethal.
Right. Powerful. Right.
Right. So, when we talk about hearing, do people get saved? When the Bible says hearing comes by faith, do people get saved just because they heard the words of the gospel? If that were true, if people got saved just because they heard, if getting certain words to bounce off eardrums was what we needed, we could just invite like everybody to church and Bob could preach the gospel and everybody would get saved. Okay? That is not what happens in this context of hearing. Dave, go ahead.
That guy Brandon I brought to the concert, I've been witnessing a guy for about a month. And so I invite him to the concert. Oh yeah, that'd be great. I told him I'm gonna buy him dinner. He's home, he's about homeless. He's homeless in a day or two. His dad's evicting him. That's how bad it is. So I said, I'll pick you up from work. I'll take you out to dinner. We'll take you to the concert. Then I'll drive you home to Rochester Hills. That's a deal, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, let's do that. So I get a text from him. I ain't going to be able to make it, he says. I'm working late. I'm working till 6:30. I said, I'll be there at 6:30. Confirm it. No answer. I figured he was lying. So then I call him, and I won't take too long here. Basically, I go pick the guy up, we go out to dinner, we come to the concert, and I'm playing Romans 1 on repeat. So you need to hear this with your heart, not just your ears, how you are depraved and wicked and you deserve to burn in hell forever.
He's like, yeah, I'm great.
That's cool. And so I'm letting Roman 1 play over and over and over, 18 through 32 specifically, right? Yeah, that's right. That's true. And then I talk about here, faith come by hearing, hear by the word. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible. Please God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you're saved through faith. And I define saving faith, and I talk about there's got to be action, exactly what mm-hmm. you're sharing here. Well, you know, that guy's under conviction, right? When intermission came, the guy bolted and went out and got drunk. Was gone for 70 minutes, comes back drunk, and then finishes out the concert, what's left of it.
Wow.
And then on the way home, he says, I can't believe you're not angry with me. I says, I'm not angry. I fully understand. You're really, really stupid. And I've been telling him this all along.
He's like,
you are so stupid that you're deceived.
thinking that this was the right thing to do. You're so afraid. He says, you're darn right I'm afraid. I says, I know you're afraid. I was afraid before I got saved. And so I drove him out too. And I let Romans play. I just kept running Romans over. And then when we talk, I hit pause, and then I put Romans 1 back on. Because he's got to get lost before he gets saved.
Amen.
Yeah.
He doesn't think he's that bad, you know? So as far as 10:17, Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word, it's embracing that hearing.
Yeah.
And taking that in and obeying that hearing.
Sure. Yep. Joyce?
Oh, I was just going to say, I have an uncle who was in a boys' home. Oh, my dad, too. But anyway, they had, like, sword drills. And, you know, missionaries would come in. Mm-hmm. They were made to, you know, like, encouraged to memorize scripture verse. And he won all the prizes. Mm-hmm. And to this day, he will say, I would give anything to get rid of all the scripture that goes through my mind every night when I put my head on my pillow.
Wow.
He rejects Christ. And
that's right.
And the word that is in his head,
yeah,
is not embraced his heart.
Right.
But that tells me, even as an adult, the Lord has been pursuing him.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't removed that scripture verse.
Right. Right. So, simply put, the point of hearing here in the text is producing the same, and I just sort of love this, because at the root of the gospel is death. You cannot get saved until you get lost.
Amen.
You cannot live until you die. Okay? Christ said, you know, you put a seed in the ground and it dies, and then it produces life. The problem we have a gospel that we're preaching to people that doesn't require any death.
Right.
So the word has to cut you to the heart.
Yes. And what we do is we think we're going to take Jesus and add him to our life.
Right.
And nothing ever happens because there's no death. But the thing that I thought was very cool about this is, man, when Bush said, you know, they're going to hear from us, I'm like, that's the same thing that Romans is talking about, hearing the word of God. It's that process. It's that action. Okay? We don't become doers of the word simply by showing up to ABF, okay, and going to church every week. Okay? That is not doing. That is hearing. Okay? That's not doing. Doing is after we go away. If you look at verse 25, he says, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The doing is in when we leave. Okay? That is the arena. That's the contest. This is the hearing. It's the processing. It's the listening. Okay? Another thing, and it's sort of the same thing. Our lives in Christ were never meant for us to become a bunch of devotionalists. Okay? We hear, I think it's in 1 Timothy 2:2, you know, being living peaceable and quiet lives. And I think some of us, again, back to context, we think the whole goal of Christian life is to just sort of sit back and become a devotionalist and live a peaceful and quiet life. You're taking that verse out of context.
Right.
That verse is in relation to government and the king, to pray for those so that we can live a peaceful and quiet life, so that we're not persecuted as Christians. It has nothing to do with us just becoming passive devotionalists and sitting on our couch. Christ said we are to be soldiers, or the Bible says, to be soldiers for Christ.
That's right.
Okay? Nowhere are we to be couch potatoes for Christ. Okay? We are to be soldiers for Christ. And if you look at this context, the whole essence of it all in hearing is doing. Okay? It's not in sitting here hearing for the 8 millionth time Bible verses, okay, that are just bouncing off our head and off our eardrums and not touching our heart. Okay? One question, and I think I'm probably going to have to sort of close with this, unfortunately. How can we cultivate proper hearing of the Word of God, as this context is talking about? That's my question. How can we cultivate it?
Make, go ahead.
Steve.
To know what it says.
To know what it says?
To know what the Bible says.
Okay.
Right. You got to know it. And then say cultivate it, start doing it.
Okay.
Take the thing from Nike.
Just do it. That's what I wore in Cuba, my Just Do It hat.
Expose yourself to it. You cultivate, and I'm just speaking from my own needs. Choose the word over other voices. As me, this is the first year I've been home, not working, not doing a lot with my grandchildren. I have to choose to put the Bible seat.
There you go.
So choose wisely.
To have the atmosphere filled with the word. I have to choose to praise and worship. I have to choose to open the Bible.
Yeah.
I have to choose in my mind.
Yeah.
Where it will go to negative. I have to choose to do the passages I've memorized.
Yep.
It's not about intellectual. It's about every way you can have yourself surrounded, because enough comes out from the inside of us.
Right.
We don't need the outside to fight it either.
Right.
That's just my personal.
Right. And something too to underscore what Marta's saying, and I've said this before, we'll say it again a million times because it's the culture we live in. Back in Bible days, back in the 1800s, 1700s, whatever, okay, people didn't live in a culture like we live in, okay? They basically had work, farming, whatever they did, and they had home life, and they had books, they had the Bible, and they sat there at night and read, and they talked, or whatever they did. Maybe they went to the pub, you know, whatever, but they talked, and that's what they did. What do we do? TV, 10 hours a day.
Phones,
10 hours a day. The internet, 10 hours a day. Social media, 10 hours a day. Okay, sports, 10 hours a day. Entertainment and movies, 10 hours a day. Blah, 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 blah.
That's it.
Okay, and Satan is laughing all the way to the bank.
That's right.
Because this book is closed, and we're all into entertainment and media, and it's a waste of a life.
Yes.
Okay.
Ready to take another big step down too.
What's that?
It's getting ready to take another big step down too. You're going to see all the youth with their virtual reality.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Now, every single thing I just mentioned is not inherently evil.
That's right.
Okay. Choose wisely. It doesn't necessarily mean you take every single thing and kick it to the curb and throw it in a garbage can. What it means is you say, you know what? What's first? What's second? What's third?
Good, better, best.
Good, better, best. This is first, second, and third, and everything else can come when I got time. Okay? And I will choose to do what's right. I will choose to do what's important. I will take the widow, go to the widows and the orphans, and invest my time. Okay, like the scripture says. Go ahead.
A good test of choosing is to go through a fast. I am going to fast the internet for a week. You'll be surprised what you can do without.
Fast the internet.
You'll go, I don't really need that as much as I thought I did.
Yeah.
Because you set habits.
Yeah.
Now your fast sets new habits.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful time of peace when you can push these things aside.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, Focus on the Family does a thing every, or Family Life Radio, I think it is. They do a thing every year where they do a fast from television. It's a, I think it's a 30-day fast, and everybody shuts off their TVs for a month.
You can do it.
You can do it. Somebody had a hand up.
Terry.
Terry.
Walk by the power of the Holy Spirit because you're not doing it in your own strength.
Okay, walk by the power of the Spirit.
I didn't hear that.
Walk by the power of the Spirit so you're not walking in your own strength.
That's right.
Steve?
It's, James 1:27, it's always been a verse for me. You know, we want to please God as Christians. I mean, if you're a real Christian, that's what you want to do. That's your desire. And when I read that, it tells me if I want to be pure about everything I'm talking about and undefiled in the sight of God, it says that I'm going to visit the orphan and the widows in their distress.
Right.
And that really got me. I mean, like I told people before, I read God's Word, and if I got two choices when I read it. Do it, like we just talked about.
Right.
Or tear that page out.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point. Do it. Here's everybody who hasn't heard Steve. Here's the gospel according to Steve today. Do it or pull the page out.
Right. Because what I did is I thought about how the world sees us as Christians, especially about widows and orphans, and God helped me to come up with something to help them. And we did some things in the past, and giving no credit to ourselves or anyone else, but God really blessed that because we wanted just to be good to people,
right?
Widows and orphans,
right?
And then compassion boxes and all the stuff we do to send the children.
Yep.
Compassion.
And you really regret doing that, don't you?
Oh, no, I don't regret
it. It's a waste of time, wasn't it? You could have watched TV that whole time.
I wish you could have done it a million times over.
Right. Tracy, Jibba.
Just real quick, I'm going to ask Mike to include this in the email this week, but there was a fantastic devotion, that Desiring God put out this past week that was talking about distractions. Mm-hmm. It was very convicting. It was very good, and I'm going to ask you to include it so that you all can be blessed by it and convicted by it.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm gonna give my little two cents on the answer to that question. Then we'll pray and close because we're late again. I would encourage us all to pray.
Amen.
To say, how do we become effectual doers and not hearers? These are all 100% valid. And I would just add to this: pray. And the reason I say this is because this gets down to the inner grain of who we are. If you look at the Word of God, pretty much all issues come down to this. Who is calling the shots? Is it you or is it God?
Right.
And so when we talk about being an effectual doer, I guarantee you right now there's a lot of people in this class, and I don't mean to be negative here, I'm just being realistic. This whole lesson today is just going to go in one ear and out the next.
Right.
It's not going to produce any change whatsoever.
Yeah.
None. What is needed? Prayer. Because God's Holy Spirit has to change our hearts. And we can't do it just by labor, and we're going to buck up, and we're going to roll up our sleeves. You know, there's a place for that, but in our heart of hearts, it's the Spirit of God moving us to become doers and not fools who are hearers only. Okay? Seriously. So, Latanya.
I was going to say to you, praise and worship.
Praise and worship. Yep.
I got one quick one. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is in vain you rise up early and go to late rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Got to rest properly.
Okay. Thanks for sharing the scripture. Father, help us this week to be wise doers and not foolish hearers. I pray that your Spirit would make that happen in our life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.